We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Welcome to the Montana State Athletics Bobcat Insider Podcast. This is your home for all things Montana State Athletics.
Well, another Thursday. Happy to have you joining us for the Bobcat Insider Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Mackey. As each and every Thursday, we bring you different conversations with people all throughout the community, throughout athletics, as to what is happening with Montana State Athletics. And a good one this week is Director of Athletics Leon Costello. Joins the program, one of the busier guys in Bozeman right now. But again, make sure that you do not miss a single podcast each Thursday. Don't just listen. Make sure you subscribe so it's automatically put right onto your phone, and you can subscribe on many different platforms, whether it be Apple Podcasts, CastBox, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Pocket Cast, Radio Public, Spotify, Stitcher, the TuneIn Radio app, many different options to hear our podcast every Thursday. And our podcast, as we've talked about, is brought to you by the Rocking R Bar. At fifth quarter, you can always go ahead and check out the Rocking R Bar. It's where everyone goes after any of those games in town. Rocking R Bar, a great sponsor of our Bobcat Insider Podcast. Now, as Montana's land-grant university, Montana State University integrates education, creation of knowledge, and art and service to communities. Find out more at montana.edu. Also, Bobcat friends and fans, keep up to date with all the latest in Bobcat gear promotions. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/MSU Gear Up. That's facebook.com/MSU Gear Up. Leon Costello is coming on the program. He right now is trying to put all the pieces together with what is going to be a fall season push back to the spring. It's going to be a busy, hectic winter into the spring, and everyone's ready. He's trying to get the whole department in order, and there's a lot to figure out right now. One of the busier guys in Bozeman, Montana, Leon Costello, coming up here in just a moment. We're just a couple of days in now. School back in session at Montana State. It looks a little bit different if you've been around campus at all with masks on, social distance, doing our part to make sure that this virus does not spread, but still being able to get that in-person learning that is so enriching for all the students throughout campus. Some of the teams able to get together, able to meet at times, too. It obviously all looks different, and everyone's kind of in this together trying to work its way out, but we are a couple of days in, and we're a couple of days in now without any fall fall games to be able to look forward to. Again, it was just a couple of days coming up that Montana State would go ahead and start off their season in the fall. Obviously, with that being pushed back to the spring, we go an entire fall without any athletics on campus in Bozeman, Montana. It's going to be a little bit different, but right now, trying to make sure that it all gets done and getting it all in line. Leon Costello will join the program, and here's a listen in to that conversation. We're glad to be back here on the Bobcat Insider as we're joined with Director of Athletics, Leon Costello. And thanks so much, Leon, for giving us some time. I know it is a busy time for you. There's a lot going on.
Well, it's great to be here, Zach. And there's a lot going on, but at the same time, it feels like when you're looking at all the events that should be taking place here this fall, then it feels like there isn't a lot going on. You know, it's a weird time where we are, you know, spending a lot of time trying to plan and prepare for the unknowns, knowing that there are a lot of delays that we are dealing with right now. So it's definitely a unique time, one that I don't want to ever go through again. But you know, I feel good about the people in our department on our campus that we've been working with to help us get through, you know, this situation.
Yeah, you get into college athletics. I know you played college athletics. You've been an administrator for some time now as an athletic director. And you probably, my guess, is never really anticipate a time like this where you can go an entire spring without sports. Fall is going to be moved back now over to the spring. I mean, this is just, it's kind of hard to even imagine thinking from an outside perspective before any of this happened that something like this could take place.
Yeah. You know, and then you look back at, you know, throughout history and you look at the, you know, the Spanish flu time. And I can't remember, one of the national sports writers was putting out quotes from some of the football coaches and things during that time. And it was eerily similar to some of the feelings, you know, and some of the statements that were being said now that is were being said back then. And, you know, I think we've come a long ways. But then again, you read some of those things and, you know, maybe we haven't come as far as we thought. But I think what that tells you is when you are dealing with something that is so new and unknown, you know, there's just a lot of things that they just don't know how things are going to evolve. Or you don't know how the plans you're going to put into place, how they're going to be reactive to everything else that's going on. And, you know, it's the old motto that, you know, information is power. And as we learn more about the virus and the pandemic and what we can and can't do, then our plans are adjusted accordingly. And, but no, you're right. It's, I've made this statement a few times is, you know, they didn't put this in the OAD manual when I took this job. And, but I think as you were dealing with this, it's not unique to us or university, you know, there are a lot of colleagues around the country that are going through the same thing. And we talk a lot to, whether it's Big Sky administrators, you know, the other administrators that I've known, you know, my network throughout, you know, my college career. There are a lot of those conversations that are going on and just, hey, what are you guys doing? How are you handling this? Or what are you doing here? And the collaborative nature of our business is powerful. And especially when you're going through this with everybody else, you know, everybody's trying to help everybody else so we can all get through it together and get back to some normalcy. And I think that's what makes college athletics so cool is the networks, the people, you know, the friendships, everybody's in it together and everybody wants to get back to it and everybody will work together to make sure that we do.
What about, you know, as a player, as a coach, you have an opponent, you see it, you know what you got to do to be able to win. As an administrator, something comes to your desk, you've got to handle it, get it done. It's got to be difficult, too, for the players, coaches, yourself, to be in a situation where really no one has control. No one's got an answer. No one really knows exactly where this could be. We didn't know we'd be here a couple of months ago. I mean, there's really no right answer, it seems.
Yeah, you can't game plan for this one, right? You know, and I think our coaches and student athletes they're used to watching film, they're used to reading tendencies of their opponents and things like that. But for us with this whole thing, it seems like the information changes almost daily, and that's hard to plan and prepare for. But you know, we're doing it in conjunction with you know, with the university, with the county, with the state. And so I feel we're in really good hands, but we're all in that same position where, yeah, there is no manual, there is no game plan of what's going to happen next. And so we're busy spending time on a bunch of different plans. You know, if this happens, then we'll do this. If this happens, we'll do this. And we just got to be ready for really anything that comes our way. And I think we are. I think we've got a great medical staff that we partner with in Bozeman Health. Our athletic trainers have been amazing through this. Our strength conditioning coaches, you know, academic staff, all of our support staff have been amazing in helping our coaches and our student athletes through this. And, you know, we just got to keep giving them the tools and the resources to be ready to either make changes or be able to adapt to whatever comes our way.
And Leon, I know you can't, you know, give everything away and everything that way, but I think people find it so interesting to see is, you know, we learned more during the summer. You guys were fighting to be able to get a fall season. Everyone's meeting. What are those conversations like with the different ADs, with the commissioner, with, you know, people across the country trying to determine what's going to happen with fall sports? Ultimately, we came to the decision to move it back to the spring, but what were those decisions and conversations like?
Yeah, you know, it's a lot like the spring. It's even though the spring kind of happened so quickly, nobody could ever imagine not having a spring without the NCAA basketball tournament. And the feeling of emptiness that left within all of us, you still look back on that really happened, you know, because it just seems so surreal. And it was kind of the same thing here in that everybody was fighting to make sure we were able to play in the fall, because I mean, we've never seen, you know, our generation has never seen a fall season without football. And we just didn't really understand what that was truly going to mean. And we really put a lot of focus and energy on making sure we did everything we possibly could to ensure that we could play, you know. So it was bringing student athletes back and kind of in a bubble when no other students were here. They got all the health care that they needed. They were able to kind of isolate themselves a little bit. You know, we worked on all the testing protocols and screening protocols that we could. We felt like we were in good position there, but, you know, there's still those uncontrollables. And I think the big thing for us when it came down to it, I still feel really good about where we are, about being able to get tests. You know, the NCAA put some requirements out there that make it a little difficult as far as timing goes for tests and the number of tests, the finances around that. But we are, as a conference, we are in such different positions as far as where our schools are located. And just in our conference alone, obviously 8 different states. But then if you look across the country and say, look, if we're going to compete for a national championship, where are all these communities and what are these communities doing to ensure safety of the student athletes? And the biggest thing for me is I wanted to make sure that if we could do things the way they need to be done, that our opponents could do the same things that we were doing and ensure that we were going to have a safe environment. And we quickly realized that not every community is going to be able to do this, which means not every university, not every athletic department was going to be able to do the same things. And that's where it became really tricky on, well, then who do you play? And obviously we all know you have to have opponents if you want to play a sporting event. And as we were, as the fall or the summer and the, you know, kind of the beginning of the fall started to move on, it became very apparent that there are going to be a lot of schools and a lot of departments, a lot of football programs that just weren't going to be able to meet the requirements and weren't going to be able to play, which left us with not a lot of options, I would say. But, you know, at the end of the day, I feel really good about where we are as a community, as a university, as a state, as a department, to be able to match the requirements that are going to be out there when we're ready to play in the spring.
Yeah, a lot of that's got to do right with the research end of Montana State University and the way that it's renowned as one of the top research institutions. You've got that ability, right, to be able to do those tests there and different options that way?
Yeah, I mean, I think in conjunction with Bozeman Health and our team physicians, and then, you know, with some of the partnerships we saw with Governor Bullock and Montana State University, and then our research areas to be able to do some of that asymptomatic testing. Yeah, I feel really good that we're going to be able to do all of those things here and turn those around rather quickly. And so the testing component, which is a big deal to many, I feel was going to be one of our advantages that, you know, we are going to be able to accomplish that. But yeah, I mean, you're right. We could do it, but then if nobody else can, has that ability, then there's nobody left on the other side to play. And that became the worst part about it is, hey, maybe we could do this, but not a lot of other people, especially at, maybe at the FCS level, could do it.
It's become apparent to anyone involved that, you know, everyone wanted to get that fall season, wanted to have it as normal as possible, and it just became inevitable that it's going to have to be pushed back a little bit to the spring. But when you look at, I know Coach Cho talked about this in the media day a little bit, about bringing student athletes back in the summer, those guys back, you talked about kind of putting them in a little bit of a bubble, trying to get everything going. How did you overall think that summer experience went when you did put some of those guys in a bubble and trying to keep that virus down a little bit? But what was that whole process like, and how did that work out?
At the end of the day, when you look back, I think it went really well. I don't know if it could have gone much better. There's always going to be, with the newness of this whole thing, there's always going to be an education process. And obviously people have their opinions on the virus and you know, what you have to do to combat it. And but I think once, you know, we got over, maybe a hiccup here or there, our student athletes adapted really quickly to the protocols we put in place. And I think when all of the things were working properly, you could see that, you know, we have a plan in place that, you know, that could really, really work. And especially if, they were taking care of their business when they were outside of our walls. So, you know, we can manage the day-to-day business that happens within like the Brick Breeding Field House or Bobcat Stadium or the practice fields, things like weight rooms and things like that. It's when student athletes leave that we just need to ensure that they're continuing to do the things that they need to do to stay healthy, whether it's wear a mask or be socially distant or, you know, maybe just not go to this place at a certain time to avoid crowds. And when we were doing all those things together, towards the end, when we were starting fall camp, we were the healthiest that we had ever been, whether it be volleyball or football. We were the healthiest we'd ever been. You know, the injuries had healed. We were doing well as far as maintaining the virus and the spread of it. And, you know, we felt really good about where we were. And so for me, it's continuing that education process now that students are back on campus. We have a lot more people walking around. The crowds are bigger. You're in classrooms. You're eating in places that have more people. So continuing to do those little things go a long ways. And I've said this all along. Look, people know who our student athletes are. When they're on campus, they know, hey, they play football, they play volleyball, they play basketball. And I truly believe that we can be leaders an athletic department, as our student athletes, because if they see a student athlete wearing a mask, then they're like, well, I can wear a mask too. And so it's just another form of leadership that our student athletes can carry on campus. Cause I think they've all gone through this whole process and they've learned that, hey, we can stay healthy if we do these things. And I think that's a vital lesson that we can carry forward.
Mm-hmm. As the decision then came down from the Big Sky presidents, to go ahead and move that season to the spring. Right now, that's kind of where the practice or where the planning is trying to get that season moved to the spring. Exactly what's going to go into that? How different is it going to be? I know we've talked already about the testing and the different sites that you're going to, you know, 8 different states throughout the conference, but now also you have weather that's a lot different in Sacramento, California than what it is in Bozeman, Montana. How does that all come about too? I'm sure there's still lots of questions to be answered.
Yeah. So the national committees, so the selection committee, the football oversight committee, they're all going through the different scenarios of start dates and when it would be feasible to actually start. And then, you know, if and when we hold the championship, the FCS championship, what does that look like? I'm sure it's going to be modified in some way. And so I can tell you that those conversations are ongoing. No final decisions have been made, but what we're really trying to do is figure out how can we fit in a spring season into a time of year. Yes, that we're unaccustomed to, but let's be honest. We still play spring football every year. Right. Mm-hmm. And so we're used to putting on the pads and doing something in the spring, just maybe not to this level, but how can we do this and fit it in a time frame to where we are ready to go for fall of 21 as well? And I think we can't jeopardize next fall, you know, for this. And so being very strategic on timing and maybe practices and things like that, and maybe length of the number of teams and the length of the FCS playoffs to make it all work so we can come back healthy, ready to go for a fall season as well. We have to be able to accomplish a lot of things. There's still a lot of questions that we have to answer about that, but those are the things that we're taking into consideration to be able to do that. But, you know, let's be honest, you know, football for Montana State is a huge financial driver for our budget. When we generate over 50% of our budget, you know, that comes from external sources, whether it's sponsorships or donations, ticket sales, you know, we rely on that revenue to help guide and run our budget. Whereas there are a lot of other FCS schools that aren't like that. And, you know, most of their funding comes from, you know, whether it be the university or however they get it. They don't have to generate, you know, maybe as much as we do. And that's where I feel fortunate in that we're able to do that. But it also means we need, you know, people to be able to come in and watch our games as well. And so not only can we play, but can we get fans there? And the one thing I've heard from our student athletes is the atmosphere that our fans generate doesn't matter what sport. It's one of the things, if they're going to play, they want to play in front of our fans, and for obvious reasons, right? We've all been there for Cat Grizz games, but we've all been in Schroyer when it volleyball's rocking, and in Fieldhouse when basketball's going, and obviously the stadium. That's one of the things our student athletes talk about all the time. And so my hope is we can get to a point where we're playing safely, but we also can have as many fans in there as, you know, the safety measures will allow.
I was talking the other day, too, with, you know, some people around. The crazy part is right now, you know, we sit without any Montana State athletics with those things pushed back a little bit. But we could get quite the fill. And if all of a sudden in, you know, that crossover season, you get a basketball game on Thursday, track meet on Friday, football game on Saturday, throw in some of the other spring sports, it could be kind of a hectic time on campus.
It will, yeah. If you want to, you could come for a weekend and you might be able to get six or seven different sports in. And to be honest, the uniqueness of that is kind of neat, you know, but it's something you don't want to do every year. I think in order to get through this and ensure that we're able to get all of our events in, you know, for 1 year, we'll do it. We'll make sure that we can do it. But let's make sure we can get everything else under control, and we don't have to do that for any more years to come, because it will be a lot. And, you know, it'll be a lot on our staff, our coaches, you know, trying to manage it all, because we're going to have practices and events on top of each other, things going on at the same time. You know, not fair to, you know, either student athletes or coaches or our support staff, because we have trainers that will be assigned to multiple teams that could be playing at the same time, or strength staff or things like that. And that becomes really difficult. And, you know, but I think this year, because of what we've all been through, we're going to make sure that we do it and we get through it. And then the hope is we get back to a little bit of normal before all those support staff, so they, you know, they can live, you know, their lives and be able to balance their, you know, work-life balance and get back to their families and things, because they've spent a lot of time in the office, a lot more than they have normally. And this, you know, spring that we're looking at right now will compound that a little bit. And, you know, for them to be at their best, they still need to be able to get out of the office, recharge the batteries, and come back in, you know, refreshed. And but I guess I can say this, I'm so proud and fortunate to have the staff that we do, because everybody's putting their best foot forward, and the effort that we've seen from, you know, March till now has been incredible, and nobody's complained. They've all know we have to do this because these are the cards we were dealt, and they've all stepped up, and couldn't be more proud of the staff that we have and the work that they've done during this time.
Oh, while we're excited, looking forward to a spring football season, a little bit different, and we just continue to look forward to that. There's also exciting details with that new construction on the end zone project. I know that's continued along, too. Can you give us an update on that?
Yeah, you know, they're right on schedule. They feel good about where they're at. to put out a little teaser, I think around Labor Day-ish, you know, the first part of September, we'll start to see some steel come out of the ground. And we know when that happens, that's when, it, you know, it's real. They've been doing a lot of the foundation work and a lot of stuff that you really can't see. But we expect to see some steel here, obviously, in less than a month, like just a couple of weeks. Excited about that, and just excited about what that will do for our department and our program. And, you know, I think during this time, you know, we look back and said, you know, if we had a second weight room, during the whole COVID thing this spring, think our operations would have been a lot easier, because managing smaller groups and getting them scheduled and into the facility, was tough with, when you just have one facility. And, this second facility is really going to enable us to take advantage of, you know, hopefully not, we don't have too many situations like this, but just different sports that want to practice or lift at the same time with multiple facilities. We're going to be able to do a lot of that and really help them, you know, manage their days. And everybody's excited. Everybody wants to see it completed. And, you know, we're under a year and we'll have that whole thing completed. We'll be in it and it'll be operational. So, I'm excited to see the finished product, but we will start to see some really cool things here in the next couple of weeks with steel coming out of the ground.
I know you mentioned it at the top that Bozeman Health has been a really great partner for you and the Bobcats, especially throughout this entire pandemic. And I know you're excited, too, about the new clinic that they're going to have in that complex there at Bobcat Stadium. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I think just having you know, the healthcare options that we need, you know, basically at our fingertips. You know, we basically need to cross the street. And the uniqueness of the clinic is not only is it going to be for our student athletes, but really for faculty, staff, and their families. Anybody that has university insurance will be able to utilize that facility for their general medicine needs. And what a great concept, and you know, what a great partnership to have for faculty and staff to be able to walk across the street, and if they're sick, to be able to go in and make an appointment and be seen by a doctor. And it just happens to be the same doctors that, you know, that are there seeing our student athletes as well. And so, you know, that was a lot of work and effort went into that, but you know, I'm just glad that, you know, our vision, the vision that we shared for our student athletes and our programs, was shared, you know, for by or with the leadership at Bozeman Health, which John Hill was a big part of that, and their entire leadership team and their board, and then the university as well, to have the vision to match ours. And it's really going to set us apart. And, you know, the, some of the things that inside our facility, like the hydrotherapy area, and then having doctors that we can walk to, are really going to set us apart on the recruiting side, but also just the sheer care of our student athletes that they're going to get and the timeliness in which they're going to get it. We will be at the top of the list. And I can't think of one other FCS school that's going to have a better setup than us when it comes to care for our student athletes.
Athletic departments across the country have been hurt financially by everything that's gone down with COVID-19, the way things have been moved back, pushed around. Obviously, Montana State is no exception. We've seen things on social media where people are able to keep their season tickets for next year to be able to help out financially. What are maybe some of the other ways that Bobcat fans could help out financially? And where's the most need, or where's the immediate need maybe needed most in that athletic department?
Zach, it's a great question. And, you know, one that, you know, of course, finances play a big part in everything that we do. And those finances go to support all of our student athletes in our programs. That's really, you know, what our funding goes to. And the student athletes are still going to be on campus. They're still going to class. You know, they're still staying in Bozeman. They need to eat. They need to get the services, all the services that they had, even when competitions were going on. They're still going to use the weight room. They're still going to go to the training room, see the doctors. They still need academic support. And all those services are still here, and we still have to fund those services. And so, you know, we're asking our fans to, you know, stick with us, and hopefully they can go and watch the football team in the spring and keep their tickets and their donations with us. If not, you know, if they go south for the winter and they're not going to be in town, either keep your tickets and donate them to somebody or give them to somebody, or just,
you know, donate on top of what they're currently doing, because, you know, we're still caring for the student athletes. They still have their scholarships. They're still going to class. They're still doing all the things that they need. The only thing that's changed is there's just no competition. And for us, the competition means there's no revenue coming in. So we still have, you know, a lot of the expenses that we have to take care of them are still there. And like I said before, you know, our budget's built on 50% external revenues. That's because we have some of the best fans in the country, and they do their part by buying tickets. You know, they're very generous with donations to the Bobcat Club Annual Scholarship Fund. You know, this is just one year. We're going to have to fight through it and get through this. And the one thing I'll say is we were in great position because of the many, many years, positive years that we've had. Now with this, obviously it kind of throws everything into a flux, but it's, I feel good about where we are, and I feel good about, you know, what our fans will do to step up to help us in this situation as well. So, yeah, I mean, if they can, you know, stick with us, keep your tickets and your donations. And if you can do more, obviously we would love for you to do more for us to be able to continue the support we have for our student athletes and coaches.
You know, what about, too, we have spent a lot of time talking football, different sports here, but the tennis program at Montana State went ahead and got some national attention for the academic side, and you also named Trey Morris head coach of the program after having that interim tag. Looks like that program is pointed in the right direction.
Yeah, I love the energy that Trey brings to the team, and, you know, I think his youthfulness you know, he's not far removed from playing. I think the team really gravitated towards that, and I watched a lot of his practices and then competitions, and to see how they work and they work out and how they're engaged. I think we're going to see some really cool things out of the tennis program. And, you know, one of the biggest things I'm disappointed in this year is I think all of our teams, we were set up to have a really great year. When you look at volleyball and cross country getting us started, and then, you know, obviously with football, with, you know, the progress we've made there, and then with women's basketball and the jumps that men's basketball came and the recruits that they have, you know, then you go right into the ski, you know, both ski programs and track and indoor and outdoor track and field. I mean, you could just see that we were poised to have a really, really great year. And I feel for our coaches and our student athletes that, you know, had worked so hard to be able to put us in that position. But, you know, I think with some of the NCAA decisions with eligibility and things like that, that we're still going to be in a great spot. And I think I'll go back to what you were talking about with the funding. If we can maintain, you know, some of these finances in our budgets, and we can get through this little hiccup with the pandemic, we're going to be set up to have some really, really great years. We got great coaches. They recruit great student athletes. They do great in the classroom. And I love the position we are in across the board. And, you know, some of the teams have taken the lead, but what's cool about that is some of our other teams have followed and they've stepped it up, and it's been a fun environment to be in.
A lot of a difficult time right now to be an athletic director, but right now it looks like there is a path forward with that spring season. We're excited for it and looking forward. Thanks so much, Liam, for giving us the time.
You got it. Thanks. And, you know, looking forward to getting back on your show when games are going on and we can talk about some of the outcomes, and looking forward to competing for those conference championships. And, you know, glad to have you on board too, Zach. It's been fun to work with you, and looking forward to working with you in the future.
Yeah. Thanks so much, Leon.
Thanks, Zach.
Well, thanks to Leon for joining the program. Always great to be able to catch up with him. And he's a busy guy right now trying to go through it all. I think one of the great parts about Montana State right now and where it sits is we were able to get that North End Zone project underway. So next fall, whenever we get a full fall season, everyone's going to be packed back inside Bobcat Stadium. You're going to get to see a brand new building there. It's going to be state of the art for the guys, the coaches, everyone really to be able to use. Leon said even the community is going to be able to use at times that building and get to see the different features that it has. So not only while, you know, things are kind of on pause here and we're kind of waiting things out, there's progress going on campus when it comes to athletics with new facilities, and guys are still meeting, still able to get together some. It's obviously a lot different, but We're going to continue to keep you updated each and every Thursday with our Bobcat Insider podcast. Montana State University is Trout U, a leader in fisheries research and education. Celebrate your passion for trout and the rivers of Southwest Montana by wearing Trout U gear. Montana.edu/TroutU. Also, Montana State University is the number one public university in Montana, according to Forbes' list of America's top colleges. Learn more at Montana.edu. Well, another great podcast. We'll be back next Thursday with more guests joining us throughout. Our thanks for you subscribing, for listening on all the different platforms. And until next time, I'm Zach Mackey.
You've been listening to the Bobcat Insider. Be sure to stay up to date with all things Montana State Athletics by visiting msubobcats.com and by following the Cats on social media on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram using the handle MSUBobcats. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Bobcats Sports Network.